Welcome to the Father's Vineyard Audio Podcast. Here is today's message.
So, I'm gonna continue from where I stopped at on last Sunday, okay? And if you wasn't here, we'll bring you up to where we are and where I stopped at. You know, it's amazing what God is doing, you know, even among his people throughout the land and country. You know, God is so vast and so wise and has so much wisdom to where he can take one little word and you can have multiple thoughts off of that one word when God speak it. You say, what do you mean by that? You know, the wisdom of God is so vast in what man's wisdom is. You know, it's almost like that when you can't even think of the thought of doing something and you whisper to God and say, God, help me to understand this. And all of a sudden, you begin to understand it. It began to come clear. You know, God's wisdom began to come to you and it becomes clear. You know, and those are the things that makes the church, you know, a step ahead, a step above the rest that has not received him. You know, you're in a good place when you're in God, when you're in Christ. You're in a good place, you know, because you really, it's almost like you are here and you're looking here. But the world is still down here looking up when we're seeing for things for what they really are. We see the source behind what's going on. Amen? So many times we think, well, no, you know, that's just that man. No, it's not that man. It's not that woman. It's not that boy. It's not that girl. But it's the spirit, the influence that's behind it. And that's why we need revelation. That's why we need insight. So that when things begin to happen, things begin to come apart, we don't come apart. We don't lose heart. Now, I mean, you know, just be honest, we feel the effects of it. But how many know that we don't have to give in to the things that are going on around us? We can't allow things that are going on around us to dictate to us how we should live, how we should react, or how we should respond, how we should behave. Because the Word of God is what's doing that for the church. Amen? All right, let's go to Psalms 13. And we stopped at verse 3 last Sunday. And I hope this is okay with you. If not, learn from it, right? All right. And this is a Psalm of David. And last Sunday, we started out with David's cry, his lament unto God, his prayer unto God. He said, how long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? And we talked about God hiding his face from David. And when in the biblical times, when God would hide his face, it would mean that they are not blessed or they don't have favor or God is not with them. Other words, God is not showing them favor. So David is saying, God, how long will you hide your face from me? Now, I'm just bringing you up to date, okay? And then he goes on in verse 2, he says, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? And we talked about the counsel that David was receiving from his soul. How many know the soul consists of what? Mind, will, and emotions. So David was taking counsel out of his emotions. There was a struggle going on with him the inside that he was struggling with. Why? Because that his soul was dictating to him how he should react, how he should be carrying on. And David began to say, he said, how long shall I take counsel in my soul? How long is this going to last? How long is this struggle going to go on? How long am I going to feel this way? How long am I going to feel isolated and abandoned from you, God? How long is this going to take place? Have you ever been in a place to where you were saying, God, how long is this going to last? God, how long am I going to have to continue to hold my peace? How long, oh Lord, am I going to have to keep loving this individual and they keep doing what they do to me? How long, oh Lord, am I going to have to go to this job knowing that I'm well qualified but I'm being pushed back? How long am I going to have to tolerate this? How long am I going to have to keep begging and pleading? How long, oh God? You know, and David, what he was doing was he was crying out to God from his innermost being because David felt that God had abandoned him. And how many know that it is a bad thing to feel, how many ever just felt like, where in the world is God at? Come on, you can be honest. I've been there and done that and had the t-shirt and the tears to go with it. God, how long is this going to last? You know how long it's going to last? Until you allow Christ-likeness to be formed in you. Because what the aim is to transform you into Christ-likeness. And see, what it is, many a times we get information. We have abundance of information. But when we when that information is not bringing transformation, I mean, you know, the information is just knowledge that puffs up. But when we begin to get information and transformation and formation into what the knowledge is, and the knowledge is really geared to do what? To bring formation in us. Do you know what formation is? It's really causing you to be like Christ. It's transforming you on the inside. In other words, it's taking away all that dross and those negativities and those things that goes on. And what's going on here is God is transforming you. Do you not know I can't respond in love if I don't allow God to change me? See, it's not a work of the flesh, it's a work of the Spirit. But for long, we've been trying to what? Make it work in the flesh, but I mean, it won't work that way. It has to be given to you by the Spirit of God and transformed you by the Spirit of God. Why? Because the Spirit of God is what gives life. Now, so David is saying, Lord, how long should I take this counsel? And what we have to realize, church, is this. The Bible says in Psalms, blessed is the man that does what? Walk not or conduct himself in the counsel of who? The ungodly. Do you not know many people get in trouble because of their feelings? Yes. Well, it felt good, so I did it. What feel good ain't always good for you. So your feelings can be deceitful. As I shared last Sunday, your feelings will have you thinking, well, that preacher preaching at me because he's looking at me. I better look up. Blinded by the light now. But that woman don't like me. Look the way she look at me. And they probably not even thinking. It's your emotions. It's your feelings. And David was saying, how long should I take this advice from my soul? Okay? Let's move on. And notice that the thoughts of David's soul affected his heart. Having sorrow in my heart daily. Why? Because of the dictation of his feelings was affecting his what? Inner being, his heart. Why? Because he was feeling what? Sorrow. Because when we begin to, if we will look at what's going on in the world, I mean, it could bring what? Sorrow. You can look at things that are going on and say, whoop, there is no hope. But how many know there is a hope? There is hope. And that hope is Jesus Christ. Amen? So there is hope. But if we look at things through the natural, we can say, ain't no way. But you're looking at a person that's proof that there is a way, and it's God. Because every one of us can tell the story about how God has changed something about us to what we, not what we used to be. Amen? Thank God for it. Amen. You're right. Okay. Now, let's move on. I'm just kind of bringing you up to where we stopped on last Sunday, okay? All right? He says, consider. Now, notice, David, he's beginning to shift something here. And he's saying, consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. Now, before he was saying, are you going to forget me forever? But how many know there is a transition taking place in this verse? Because now David is saying, look at me, God. Before, your face was hid from me. But now David is saying, consider. Consider. Consider and hear me, O Lord, my God. O Lord, God, look at me and answer me. Look at me and answer me. Now, there is no greater feeling when you pouring your heart out to a person and they looking at you eyeball to eyeball. Because what that tells you, they are interested in what you're saying. There's a care that's going on. Now, David is saying, now consider me, God. Yeah, your face, I felt like your face was hid from me, but consider. Consider me. Look at me, God. Listen to me. Hear my prayer, Lord. Answer my prayer, God. This is what's going on. Now, David is talking to the Lord. Then he began to say, enlighten my eyes. What was his prayer here? Enlighten my eyes. Understanding. Now notice what David is saying here. Enlighten my eyes, lest I shall sleep the sleep of death. Look at Psalms 19, if you would, not too far away, just Psalms 19, verse. Psalms 19 and verse 8. Well, let me go back to verse 7. Is that okay? Okay. Psalms 19 and verse 7. The law of the Lord is. The law of the Lord is converting the soul. Now listen what David is saying. He's saying, Lord, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. But notice what he's saying here is, Lord, enlighten my eyes. How is he going to get his eyes enlightened? Looking at the law of the Lord. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting what? The soul. Now, the same word convert here is restore. Did that ring a bell? He restoreth my soul. What was David's complaint coming from? His soul. So now the soul is being converted or being what? Restored. Because there's a thing on the soul that houses memory. And it's being pulled down like an onion, one layer at a time. And what that soul, what God is doing is in the process of saving the soul. Now, a lot of people say, well, no, when I got saved, my soul was saved. That's not true. Your spirit was quickened, but the soul is progressively being saved. Because James said, it is the implanted word which is able to save your soul. So the word is converting my soul. My soul is beginning to line up with what the spirit that God has put in me and quickened in me is lining up to do what? Come into submission. But as long as we think, well, you know, and some of the theologians say, well, the soul and the spirit is identical. But how many know that's not true? According to the word of God. Because Hebrews 4 and 12 says the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder of soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word can do the work, but it's the word that transformed the soul. Romans 12 says, don't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know what that is? That's the renewing of the soul. Why? Because the soul is part of the mind. And David is saying here in Psalms 19 and verse 7, he said, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting or restoring or changing the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is what? Pure, doing what? Enlightening the eyes. What did David ask for? Enlighten my eyes. Let's go back to Psalms 3. And this is what he's saying. Enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. And we talked about last week about how that when men slept, the enemy sowed tares among the wheat. So you got to be on guard. Do you realize that, I want to say this right, people are saying we want revival. But do you know what we really need? We need an awakening of who we are in Christ. Then revival would take place because of the excitement of knowing who I am. I can't help but go out and start other fires. When I'm awakened to who I am, that means that when Paul prayed in Ephesians, he said, I pray that the eyes of their understanding will be enlightened, that they will know the hope of their calling. Paul is saying he wants us to be awakened to who we are. But as long as we think, I'm just a church attendance, I just attend church on Sunday and, you know, maybe on Wednesday night, just depends on how I feel. But do you not know Christianity is not built on a feeling? It's built on a knowing. Jesus said they will know the truth, and the truth will what? Make them free. They will know the truth. See, when I know who I am, do you not know that that gives me a confidence to begin to share the gospel with other people, because I can share with them where he's brought me from. But when I don't know who I am, it's almost like I don't know how to talk about it. But when I know who I am, I can tell you about it. Do you understand? So David is saying, enlighten my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. Now, verse 4, we're catching up now. Brought you where we need to be. But verse 4 starts out, it says, lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved or shaken. So what David is saying here, if you would enlighten my eyes to who I am, lest my enemies say I have prevailed against him. So what David is saying, to overcome the enemy, I need to have my eyes enlightened about the enemy. Yes. Is that okay? Yes. Now let's look in 1 Peter. Let's look in 1 Peter, the 5th chapter. Okay, y'all still on? Okay, you got it up there. I thought it was on the screen, but that's all right. I'll grab it right quick. Somebody liked my whistling out there. Man, you're supposed to be preaching. Okay. All right. I'll tell you, 1 Peter 5 and verse 8. Well, let's go drop down. Well, we'll go to verse 8. He says, be sober. Now, that word sober there means to do what? To be of a sound mind, being able to make sound decisions, an active mind. I told a guy one time, I said, you know, it's not hard to be the person that's drunk. You know, some people get people drunk on purpose so they can do whatever they need to do to them, right? Y'all don't say that again. It's not hard to defeat or beat up a drunk man. You know why? Because he don't have no control. Exactly. He is so intoxicated to where he can't be stable because he's on the influence of something that's got him unstable. And what Peter is saying, be sober, be of a sound mind, be able to make good choices. Why should I be of a sound mind, Peter? Be vigilant. The word vigilant there means to be alert. Be on guard. What did David say? Enlighten my eyes, lest my enemies prevail over me. So in order for David to understand, to be enlightened, he's saying, if you don't enlighten me about this enemy, there's nothing I can do to defeat him. But that's Old Testament. But when we move over into the New Testament, the Bible said, Jesus said, I have disarmed him. Colossians, I think, is 2:15. I have disarmed him. I have made an open show of him. I have stripped him of his power. Therefore, if the devil don't have any legal right to the born-again believer. That's why when he began to come against you, when he sent his demons, okay? Because it's not really Satan, it's his spirits that he's released into the earth. Now, let me show you a little secret about the enemy. Can I just show you? You want to know? He is not using nothing that you haven't been exposed to. The only thing he bring back to your remembrance to try to trip you up is what you've been exposed to. It's nothing new that he's doing. He know that you've been exposed to it, so now he's gonna do what? Take every opportunity to put it before you. But we can resist the temptation of the enemy. I mean, you know, it's not a sin to be tempted, but it's a sin to give in to it. So what we have to understand that when we're being tested, it's no time to say, well, forget it, I'll just give in to it. No, the Bible says submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But we say resist the devil, and he will flee. It don't work that way. You submit to God. So when I submit to God, what am I doing? I'm coming under the authority of another. So when I come under the authority of another, I come under the authority of the Word of God, and the enemy cannot stand against the Word. You know why? When he came to Jesus, this is what Jesus told him. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Do you not know if the devil would try to tempt Jesus with these things that's in this earth, guess what? He's going to do the same to us. But it's the only things that we have been exposed to. That's why, listen, young people, babies, listen. That's why the Word of God says, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth while the evil days come not. Do you not know if you haven't been exposed to things that you won't have to be tempted with it? But if you expose yourself to sex, drugs, and all these things that the world is offering us, you're exposing yourself to it. But how many know that what you got to understand, the enemy will tempt you with that the rest of your days? Preacher said one time, you don't want to open that can of worms. Because them worms get all over the place. And you can't get them back in the cup the way they went out. So it's best to leave the cup, what? Covered. Y'all looking at me, what about that preacher? But I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you, there's nothing that the devil is trying to tempt me with that I hadn't been exposed to. And I'm telling you the truth. Well, you married. No, it don't matter if you married. I'm just being honest with you. That's why I got to be sober. I got to be alert. I got to be on guard. That's what David is saying. Open my eyes. Do you not know that the Bible says, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. See, our eyes are being opened to who we are. And David is saying, awaken me by the revelation, by the insight of your word, lest my enemies prevail against me. Remember last week we talked about the church? Remember we said that when Jesus asked, he said, who do men say that I am? Some said they are John the Baptist. Some say you're this, some say you're that. But then Jesus said, but who do you say I am? Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, Peter, but my Father which is in heaven. And that is what God is building the church on, the revealed knowledge of who he is. See, we come together to celebrate the goodness of our God. So when we learn and our eyes are being enlightened, God is helping us to see the enemy for who he really is. Now, these men that stood up, that's been in battle in wars, or been trained for battle, what you got to understand is they have been trained to understand that you don't play with the enemy. That's what Paul said, neither give him place. Don't even crack the door for him. Don't even let him peep in. Because if he can peep in, guess what? He's going to stick his toe in. And if he get his toe in, he's going to get his foot in. And when he get his foot in, he's going to start doing what? Walking in. People say, well, it just happened. No, nothing just happens. We want to dress it up and say, it just happened. No, honey, it didn't do it. I've been living a little while. And I realize it don't just happen. And I'm going to show you what happens. And it ain't a sin to watch TV. It's not a sin. It's got an on button and an off button. It's got a thing you can turn stations to another station. But you know what he's doing? He's setting us up with the TV. He'll show you some things and make it seem like, well, you know, it ain't that bad. And what he would do, he'll dress it with love. Well, you know, we gotta love everybody. Do you not know it's nothing you can do to escape God's love? It's already been declared that he loves you. But just because God loves you don't mean that you're gonna always do what he say. But there's a word that if you don't, is called chastisement. If you're his. So we're talking about David, and he's saying, enlighten my eyes. So what he's saying here, what Peter is telling us, he's saying, I want to enlighten your eyes here. Be sober, be vigilant. Why? Because. He goes on, he said, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may what? Devour. Did you notice anything what I just read there? Who said yes? You said yes. What'd you notice? Exactly. You get an A plus today. Where you want to go? Name it. Nah. Exactly. Say, my adversary. Now, I'm going to tell you something about this. This is why when we come together, we need to be encouraging each other. Yeah. Because, see, my adversary throughout the week, my adversary might be wearing me out. Your adversary, you might say, ain't bothering me. But, see, I might need some encouragement. I don't need you to come along and say, yeah, you know, I did the same thing. No, I don't need that. I don't need you to make me feel good. I need you to give me the truth. I need you to tell me, John, you more than that. You get up from there. Shake yourself and get back in the fight. I don't need, oh, yeah, I did. You know, I did. Oh, yeah. No. I need you to talk to me and encourage me. I need you to remind me who I am in Christ. And that's what Paul did. He said, look, when I heard of your faith, I didn't cease to give thanks. I didn't cease to pray for you. I pray that God would give you wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. When I heard of your faith in the Lord. See, and this is what we're doing. Encouraging each other. Why? Because your adversary is going about like a roaring lion seeking. See, he don't know if he can get you to get off the truth or not, but he's seeking you out. And I mean, you hear this, that he's saying, look, he's seeking you out. And David is saying, you know, unless my enemies prevail against me, but do you not know the enemy cannot prevail against the church? But he can try. And that's what we have to understand. We have to take our stand and say, not here. Mm-mm. Nope, done been there, done that. Resist. Submit to God. Resist, and he'll flee. But notice your adversary. Your adversary. When you begin to study the enemy, he don't play fair. So don't look for a fair fight. It's a fixed fight because we win. But we got to let him know, look, I'm an overcomer. I'm a conqueror. There's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Tribulation, all these things, they can't separate me from my love, for God's love for me or my love for him. See, when we start loving him, not just because we want something, but because of who he is. Just like the song they sung this morning, great is our God. Splendor of our King. Clothed in majesty. When we begin to behold him. When we begin to see him. Not through the eyes of carnality, but through the eyes of the Spirit. We see how magnificent this God is, that we're serving him. And it's not for what he can do for me, what he can give me, but it's what I can do for him. See, I come out of Sears and Roebuck Christianity. For y'all don't know what Sears and Roebuck is. At Christmas time, they were sent out a Sears and Roebuck catalog. And you go through that catalog, wonder, this is what I want. Yeah, I want this right here. I want the bicycle with the banana seat, with the handlebar, you know. But how many know Christianity is not like that? It's not go through the drive-thru window and say, gimme, gimme, gimme. But you have pledged to him and says, I'm yours, Lord. What can I do for you? Who can I reach out for you? Who can I touch for you? Say, my eyes are being opened. I heard somebody said this morning, I believe it was in Sunday school, that we have to understand that our bodies are the temple of God. And God has called us to be what? His hands, his feet, his eyes. To see what he sees and begin to execute it in the earth. Okay? Let's look at this. Let me finish this up and we'll move on, okay? Peter says that resist him. See, the same word is in James. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same suffering are what? Experienced by your brotherhood in the world. Now, let's go back to Psalms 13. Oh, they don't went to, I'm sorry, guys. Let me go back to Psalms 13. Psalms 13, let me find it. Okay. I get it, just hold on. I got it. Psalms 13, verse 4, it says, lest my enemies say, I have prevailed against him. Lest those who trouble me rejoice when I am moved or shaken. You know, those little demons get happy when we are shaken and moved, but guess what? We're getting up again. See, you might have got me today, but tomorrow I'm going to be ready again. See, that's the mentality we got to think. I might have missed it today, but tomorrow I'm not going to miss it. You might have knocked me down today, but tomorrow it's going to be a new game. I'm going to go and I'm going to get in this word and I'm going to get sharp and I'm coming out with a sword. And I know he's already defeated. All I got to do is resist. Resist. And that's why Paul said, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. The spirits of wickedness that's in this world. We're not trying to bind the devil, we're resisting. Because if we could bind him, we would have done it years ago. He wouldn't be what? Doing what he's wreaking havoc on the world. But it's the demonics. It's the spirits that he have assigned to us that we got to defeat and overcome. Now, I told you I was going to show you a little trick of the enemy, how he gets us. How many ever read C.S. Lewis? And you know what he talked about when he said, is it the screw? What's the name? Screw? Okay. You know, he was saying, you know, he told these demons, you know, they had a little meeting. And they said, you know, what can we do to stop these Christians? You know, they go to church, you know, they do all these things. So they come up with, you know, well, let's just keep them busy. Keep them doing stuff. Have you ever heard people say, you know, man, I wish I had time to really seek God? Yeah, I've heard people say it before. Man, I wish I had time to just read like that. Remember last week at the closing, we got to do what? Take the initiative. Prioritize. You've got to prioritize to get into the Word of God. You got to become disciplined. It ain't going to just happen. You know why it won't just happen? Let me tell you why it won't just happen. Because it goes against the grain of our flesh. And the flesh don't want to do it. But the Spirit is saying, I want to do it. And that's why Paul was able to say in his writings, he said, you know, there ain't no good thing in the flesh. He said, even when I wanted to do what was right, seemed like evil is always present. It's always going to be trying to pull you away from God. And this is the attacks. These are the attacks of the enemy to keep you so busy. To keep you thinking, how can I escape this? How can I do this? God, I'm going crazy here, God. Seems like every time I turn around, if it ain't one thing, it's another. Sit down. And begin to see what is really important in my life that I can't get with God. What's so important in my life that I can't make time for God? When you begin to sit down and analyze your everyday activity, there are some things you just don't have to do. I'm telling you what John did. When I begin to sit down and look at my life and begin to examine, what do I really need to do here? What is so important that I got to stay so busy? And I realized a lot of stuff I was only doing. Shh. a lot of stuff I was only doing was because I wanted to appear right before people. Y'all didn't hear me on this side, did you? And I realize I can't please everybody. I can't be yes every time. Sometimes it's the best to say, oh no, oh, y'all just cussed in church. You ain't supposed to say no. You ain't supposed to say no in church. You're supposed to get up and get it. Get it. Be honest. And let them know, look, I just can't do it. I've got an appointment, and I got to keep it. Well, just call in. No, it ain't that kind of appointment. I set a time with God, and I don't want to miss that time that I set with him, because I prioritize, and I've set time, and I'm intentional about it. Am I saying it to toot my horn? No, I'm not saying that to toot my horn, but I'm letting you realize if you don't prioritize and you don't make a conscious decision to do it, you'll just keep rolling on. Amen. You'll keep rolling on. And you'll be saying, God, why is this happening to me? God, why don't you just come and do something? I've done it all for you, son. I gave my best for you. He gave his best for you. He shedded his blood for you. He took whips on his back for you. He took thorns on his head for you. He went into a grave for you. And he died and he resurrected for you so that he can begin to execute everything that he established for you. Consummation through his death, burial, and resurrection, that's saying, now you can operate in this covenant. Why? See, as flesh people, discipline is a cuss word. Ooh, yes it is. You hear that? Ooh, Mufasa. I can tell I'm a Lion King man. But listen, what David is teaching us, it's old covenant, but let's move over to the new covenant. And you see that Paul is saying, look, go with me to Ephesians. I did finish Peter 1. Yeah, I did. I said James. Yeah, I did. Okay, yeah. Yes, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I want you to look at this. What did I tell you? Ephesians, right? Ephesians, okay. Ephesians, where you at? Okay. I got it wrote down in my notes, but I want to give this to you. Ephesians 5 and verse 14, it says, therefore he says, awake you who sleep. Arise from the dead, and Christ will give you what? Light. Now, if you back up, you'll see where the light begins to do what? Expose darkness. And this, when it begins to, see, how many know that there are some, I need to get out. I'm trying to practice, quit saying how many know, so y'all bear with me. But do you understand that there are some dark things within us? Okay, now, not saying that you're born again, but there's a work that the Holy Spirit is doing. And see, what the Holy Spirit does is he enlightens you and he shines light on that dark area. And if you'll begin to operate and cooperate with the Holy Spirit, he will expel that darkness with the light. That's why when we read the Word of God, We've been in darkness because, you know, I don't see it. But when we begin to get an understanding or a revelation or it's been revealed to us, we begin to walk, there's a light being turned on. And when that light is turned on, then I can begin to walk in that light by the Spirit of God when I yield to Him, because He's the one that's showing me the light. He's exposing the dark error in me. You said, but you're supposed to be a preacher. But you know, I'm flesh and blood like you. You cut me, I bleed. You pinch me, I hurt. So what you got to understand is the Spirit of God is not only to give me a good feeling. That's fine. But if that's all he's going to do for me, woe be unto me. See, but I shout and I dance and I rejoice because I understand. And I see the light, and I know who I am, and I know what He's bought me from, and it put joy down on the inside of me. Why? Because I know He's at work in me. And it is a good work. Paul said, He which have begun a good work in you will perfect that work unto Jesus Christ. Otherwise, He will bring maturity. And Paul goes a little further and he says, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you to will and to do of His good pleasure. And when we begin to do that, it put dancing in our feet. You say, what are you doing? Let's move on in Psalms 13. When the light is shined on, it don't only show you what the enemy is doing, but it show you what you can do. Watch this. Then he says, let those who trouble me rejoice over me. But, verse 5 says, but I have trusted in your mercy. Do you know the word but there is an indication or a transition from fear to faith? From fear to faith. Remember, his heart was reeling all sorrow, but now look what's taking place. Because David has looked in the law of the Lord and his eyes have been enlightened, there is something taking place in his physical body here. And he's saying, but I will trust in your mercy. My heart shall rejoice in my salvation, in your salvation. Other words, in your deliverance, in your rescue, in your healing, in your safety. I can rejoice in your salvation. Why? Because God is the one that gave us salvation. And the word salvation just don't mean being saved. It means deliverance, wholeness, soundness, healing, prosperity. So if we only stop at just being saved, how many know we shortchange ourselves of what else was given to us? The book of Ecclesiastes says, thy mercies are renewed, what? Every morning. And thy compassions, they fail not. They are renewed. There's a new mercy every morning. There's a new compassion every morning. He said, they fail not. And then he goes on to say, great is thy faithfulness. Great is thy faithfulness. Faithfulness. That's Lamentation 3, 22 through 23. Notice what David said. I rejoice. Do you know that word rejoice? Now, I can't do this. And I'm not speaking negative when I say this, okay? Let me see. Can I spot somebody that would do it for me? Let's see. You do it good. Come here for a minute. Come on, Michelle. I ain't going to embarrass you. Come around this way. Now, I've watched her do this. Now, I know you know what rejoice means, okay? It means to jump and twirl. Can you just do a little twirl for me? Okay, yeah, take them heels off, sister. I don't want Russell to get me. Just twirl, just rejoice. See, Now, I can't do that, so I got my sister to, oh, that's good. You're getting carried away there. Okay, all right. Now, look, that's what rejoice means, to leap and turn. Now, I can't, I'm going to tell you why I can't do it. I get swimmy-headed. I don't want to fall off this platform. You say, well, get on the floor and do it. Okay. Okay. But but that's what David is saying. I'm leaping and rejoicing. Why? Because of his perception now, his vision had changed about God. He's no more sorrow. He's no more relying on his feelings, but now he's trusting in God, the Jehovah God that he's been trusting in all his life. And it's making David want to dance and leap and twirl. Listen to what he says in verse 6, closing out. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me, mercy and grace. Amen. Do you not know David said in his psalm, he said, look, you anoint my head with oil, my cup runneth over. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me the rest of my day. Do you know I got two angels behind me called goodness and mercy? And they follow me. They follow you all the day long. They following you. And when you're rejoicing, them angels are flapping and waving and praising God over you, and God begin to dance over you. Why? Because, see, they getting it, Gabe. Look at them. They getting a hold of this. They're not letting their soul dictate to them, but they're standing in the truth and they're trusting me. Why? Because I can do exceedingly abundantly above all that they will ask or think or imagine according to the power that's working in you. Say, he's working in me. Charles Capp used to have a song, he's still working on me to make me what he thinks I ought to be. He placed the moon and the stars and all these things, but he's still working on me. Why? Because he's changing me. The spirit leads to change. And change is not easy, but it's good. Amen? I said, what's wrong with that crazy boy up there? Don't he know it's about 12 o'clock, 4 after 12? You know what I was just doing? I'm processing. Why are you processing? You're supposed to know this stuff. I'm listening. And I'm getting ready to ask you a question. But you don't have to answer it. What is it that you can give up, that you can spend some time with God? You don't have to answer it, but you can take it home with you and examine. What can I do? What can I give up? See, what you give up for God, I'm telling you, it will seem like when you start doing it, it will seem like all your flesh is just gonna come apart. But as you start doing it, it'll begin to seem like, man, where did time go? Have you ever been in the presence of a person and they were just sharing the word of God with you, and all of a sudden they said, well, I got to go. I got to be somewhere at 2 o'clock. And y'all get to talking, and then it's 15 after 2. Then it's 2:30. And you begin to, what did the time go? See, when you're talking about God and spirit to spirit, things begin to happen in the process. So you take the initiative. You say, well, Pastor, I'm already doing it. Well, keep on doing, keep on keeping on, baby. Keep on keeping on, because it's going to work for you. See, as long as we keep trying to tell the devil that he's got the upper hand, he's going to keep on tricking us. But we got to come to a place and say, I'm spending time with my Creator. And do you not know your time with God is not wasted time? It is not wasted time. So, Father, we thank you today, Lord. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our time together. And, Lord, I pray, God, that the words we've shared today will minister to your people, Lord. And, God, we just lift up Pastor Terry, Lord. And, God, we pray in the name of Jesus that you cling his lungs and strengthen his body, Father. And God, we pray for him and Miss Brenda today. We lift him up to you. And God, we don't only pray for them, but we pray for our entire family, our community, the church here at Father's Vineyard. God, we pray for every member, Lord. God, whether they're here or not here, Lord, we pray, God, that you will strengthen and bless and protect and guard this treasure, Father, that you have so knitted together. So, Father, we don't take it lightly, but, God, we say thank you, and we bless you for him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Michelle. I didn't say thank you, but I appreciate that. I wasn't trying to embarrass you. I just know you can do it. Y'all guys have a blessed fourth. Be in the presence of God throughout the week and enjoy your 4th of July, the freedom that God has given you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Father's Vineyard podcast. If you'd like more information about Father's Vineyard, please visit us 24/7 at www.fathersvineyard.org, or you can call the office at 828-287-2868. Thanks again.